Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Achtung Millwall supports the Lions Food Hub. This is a friendly local food hub. It's based in Bermondsey. It's run by our very own Kelly Webster of the Mill Lionesses, a very well-known Millwall fan. They do need supplies, dear listeners. Before we get into the show today, I have posted they need tinned meat, they need toiletries, they need soup, they need tinned fruit and veg. If you can help in any way, they are on Twitter, at Lions Food Hub. DM them. You can DM me at Achtung Millwall and I'll pass on any help and information that we can. Lions Food Hub, at Lions Food Hub. Thank you for listening. Now back to the show.
You're listening to Achtung Millwall, broadcasting from the beautiful South Birmingham. Accept no substitute.
Well, hello, dear listeners. Welcome to the immediate aftermath, the post-match aftermath of, for me, one of the poorer Millwall performances of the season. Joining me to chew over the cud as we both fight post-match depression is Mr. Harry Warren. Welcome to the show, H.
Hello, listeners. I'm sure you're over the moon to have me on for this positivity-filled session.
Now, Harry should have been playing football himself this afternoon, dear listeners, but for various reasons, you've watched the Sky broadcast instead, Harry. I bet you wish you'd have driven over to Chiswick and taken the field for your 20 minutes play, mate.
Yeah, it would have been something like that. I mean, would I have been better than Marlon Romeo today would have been the question, but I think I'm jumping the gun.
Millwall nil, Swansea City 3 for any far-flung listeners in the never regions of the world who missed the result this afternoon. If there was any faint hope, well, the patient comfortably passed away in its sleep earlier on this afternoon, dear listeners, if there was any faint hope of post-season football, which I think it was a faint hope, but there we are.
I don't think it was a faint hope. It should have been a faint hope, and we'd somehow managed to make it sort of our own, our own hands to a certain extent, with a run of three wins on the bounce, which always papers over the cracks. I get your point, but you go into that game. Let's be honest. Swansea haven't won in four, thumped by one of those teams. Millwall have put in good, solid counter-attacking performances, and then they serve that up, and it's kind of unforgivable, Nick, because it reminds me too much of a year ago. It reminds me too much. That game reminds me too much of the QPR defeat very late on in the season last year. It just shows we've learned nothing and we will learn nothing because we're Millwall Football Club.
Let's start off with the selection, first of all, Harry, because I don't cast myself as any kind of mystic seer of the future, listeners, but I don't think I was alone in wondering why Alex Pearce was starting today when Ryan Woods, Harry, we all have our, he's a controversial pick, perhaps, but I would have thought, and I want to get your take, first of all, on Alex Pearce starting, and second, why is George Evans not taking his place in that back three, and a midfield of Kiefton, Beld, Mitchell and Woods, which would be a logical start to me. How did you see the selection itself?
I mean, I hadn't really considered the Woods effect of not playing. I know whenever we play a back four, we're worse in this particular iteration of Millwall. Whenever we go to a back four, we're in trouble. and it tends to end up with us conceding more goals, which is what later went on to happen. Yes, I could see the reasons for Woods to play. I'm guessing Woods must be injured, because there is no way on God's green earth that we would pick Williams over Woods. Even me, you know, one of Woods's loudest banging the drum for Woods being limited in what he can do. He is much better football player than Sean Williams is at this stage of his career. And it was baffling. You know, we sat there, and you have to give Rowett credit for when he does good things, but you also don't have to be part of the Rowett out brigade to say that today his performance was very, very poor. In a manager's win games, you know, the squads, yes, Swansea have quality. You can see that when they've taken their chances, but you can't leave Ayew the space that you did, and you can't leave Lowe the space for the third, and you can't get caught out like Romeo did for the second. And these are all errors, but these are players.
Yeah, no, I agree. Errors, yeah.
And these are all players picked by this man. And at 1-0, you know, I think the first half, let's break it down by looking at that squad. You're right, that was the future for me. That is a Millwall midfield that you can build on, that has got, with a player, whether it is Woods or not, sitting on the bench to bring you, when you do have the ball, to let you get forward up the pitch. The problem is for all how good Wallace and Bennett have been, they're not strikers, and you can't ask them to be strikers. You know, it works when you've got space and you can hit teams on the counter attack. But I don't know whether or not, I just felt very underwhelmed. I mean, we started quite well actually for all intensive purposes, and moments change games, but I don't know, Nick. It just feels like we're stuck in a loop of ever going towards hope, and then hope being rapidly destroyed in sort of being pumped at home, which has happened sort of two or three, maybe even four or five times now under Rowett. We've been pumped at home, quite badly chasing games, and we're terrible when we go the goal behind.
We're terrible when we go behind. Let's go through the game, because we strive to be fair. We did have some early, it was early, a bright early start from Milner. Billy Mitchell was unlucky, actually. He had a shot on target in the third, or it would have been on target, but for the deflection, which went for a corner left, and then Jake Cooper headed wide, when maybe he might have expected to have done better. That was inside the first three or four minutes. There's a lot of ifs, Harry, isn't there? I mean, you can say with any chance, if it had gone in, it would have been a different game. If that had gone in, you might have had a different game on your hands. But certainly we started lively. I think Bennett had a headed opportunity. I don't know if it's a chance, but certainly an opportunity a few minutes later. But where I criticise this team or management, whichever, the two go hand in hand, is that we gradually got outworked. And I think they made that point. They used that phrase, actually, on Sky TV. I think the co-commentator, was it Goodman?
Today? It was Goodman, unfortunately.
He actually made that point, that we were outworked. And as the half wore on, our chances, our opportunities faded away to next to nothing. Now, in fairness, Swansea didn't create much. There was one save as a defensive error incident, which let Lowe in on, that was about halfway through the first half. And then the goal, which I think you've already touched on, where we give time and space to a danger player, a man that can hurt you. And so he did, right bang on half time.
It was from their throwing. It reminded me of the Derby goal after the first restart, of getting caught in transition. Because Malone goes early in this wing-back system. Malone goes early to provide the overlap when you go forward. And the problem was that Ayew had drifted into that space that he'd left, which isn't a problem as long as you don't then lose the ball in the middle, which we did. And
which
then
we did, yeah.
Malone rushes back and obviously just turns him inside, uses his momentum against him, which looks terrible if you cut it down. But, you know, Malone's been quite good this season. Yeah, it's a mistake, but that's kind of a little bit more forgivable because it comes from our own mistake, which leads to consecutive mistakes, if you understand.
Yeah,
a bit
all each other, don't they? Yeah.
But the problem for me is that we're so passive in that as the game gradually slips away from you. I mean, if we get in at half-time at 0-0, again, a big if, you know, would we have seen the same second half? Probably, yeah, because the whole of the second half was Swansea. And it changed pretty much from sort of the first 15 minutes of Millwall pressure. Basically, the remaining 60 minutes of that game,
It was all Swansea, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it was,
absolutely.
Yeah, Jake's hit the post, and you know, again, that was a free kick from the left, and Jake being 6 foot, whatever he is, 6 foot five, 6 7, I can't, you know, very, you get varying heights for him, but he's always going to be in with a shout, and he was in with a shout, and he hit the post, and that was unlucky. But apart from that, Harry, I mean, until going late in the game, chasing it, two and then three goals down, we've done nothing in front of goal, and made
a bunch of really weird substitutions.
Well, there's another issue. I mean, obviously, from we've got it at half time. You're right. Should it have been changed at half time?
I think the only thing can change at half time is Pierce. Pierce is awful, right?
I haven't seen the goals back, so I don't know what level of
Pierce. For the first chance that we've touched on, not the goal, the first chance that Swansea have when they got in behind and Bart makes quite a decent save. Yeah, McNamara and Wallace have gone across to cover the two players. Pierce doesn't get back and cover the ball across the 6 yard box. He's still outside the box when the ball gets pulled back. Now, that's one position. That's also two legs. I can't get back here anymore. I'm done. That pace has gone, right?
Yeah.
And it's everything that we touch on with him is his position. He looks terrible because he gets caught out of position. I don't think he gets caught out of position because he doesn't know that he should be there. I think he gets caught out because he physically can't get there anymore. And that happens to everyone over time. That happens to the world's greatest centre-backs. And once, if you rely on that little bit of reactional play, which I think he does,
yeah,
once that goes, you look very, 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 very average. And he looks very average. He shouldn't be anywhere near the side. You've got to have a very difficult conversation with Alex Pearce over the summer, because the captaincy going forward is a joke, because basically it's the elephant in the room, isn't it? It's like, is he part of your first team plans? Because
he shouldn't be, in my opinion, because of old Father Time, Harry. I mean, you know, it creeps up on us all, doesn't it? And unfortunately, that's where it's got to Alex Pearce. If he can't do it on the pitch, then club captaincy becomes quite a difficult role off the pitch, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And the problem is that why he's there, he's a distraction. It's another question to be asked. If I'm Rowett, I want to move him on. I don't need him now. But he seems to rely on him in some kind of paradoxical universe where he thinks he can do a job that he's probably telling him he can do, you know? And he can't.
I hear he's a lovely bloke, and he seems
Lewis Gallack was supposed to be a lovely bloke, but he was shit as well. You know what I mean? It's not.
I don't know. I can't answer your question, Harry.
If we want to, you know, this talk, you know, Don Goodman seemed to have been on some kind of Millwall PR course that, you know, Millwall,
yeah, they told him to liven it up, and they,
told him to fuck either he's nice or he fucks off and don't get invited into the den again. It did seem like it was sort of it made me more cynical towards him even. It made me dislike him.
He can't
him.
Win with you, can he?
Oh no, it made me dislike him more. It's like, well, if you've got an idea of the club, stand by your convictions, or you know, don't try and repay the damage you've done on the QPR thing 6 months later. If you've got an involved opinion, stand by that.
You're going to get slagged whichever way around you're going to go.
Exactly.
On
that's fair enough. But, you know, the Woods question, which I hadn't even thought about till you raised that right at the start of the show, is that for all Woods can't do, right, for all the things he can't do, he's not going to put a tackle in or whatever. And maybe Rowett didn't think this was a game where we were going to get time and space to pick the pass or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But the idea of playing Pierce instead of George Evans, I'd suffer Woods getting rolled over in the middle a couple of times to actually have a defensive line that was solid, you know, and deal with those problems. And Evans then becomes your ball playing centre half, the one that I've been saying that if you're going to play three, you need someone that can pass the ball out the back three so Woods can give it to him. That makes sense. That totally makes sense in what you've raised. But yeah, for some unknown reason, it's like the elephant in the room of Hutchinson's off, and within 4 minutes of Hutchinson fucking being injured, Alex Pearce has driven a JCB digger at his door, knocking on it to go, I'm playing now, aren't I? I'm club captain. That's what it seems like to me. And
the only reason you play Pearce, Harry, if I'm trying to look at it logically, because I don't actually understand the logic of the 11. And I'm not saying, listeners, that would have changed the result. I take my hat off to some level to Swansea for kind of overcoming their demons and putting in a performance that I would hope Millwall would have put in today. And the result can sort itself out if you both brought 100% to the table. And the only reason I can think of Alex Pearce starting and trying to be devil's advocate here, Harry, is that he brings some form of defensive organisation, which overrides his lack of pace in his legs now. But I don't see that. So it can't be that, can it? Because I thought we made sufficient errors. I'm just looking through my notes here. And we made errors, not loads, but enough. And enough to give a quality side or quality players opportunities across the whole game.
At 1-0 at half-time, I did not see Millwall getting beaten 3-0.
No, I didn't, in all honesty.
I don't think in that first half Swansea were any better than us in terms of they took their one chance for a moment of quality through an international player that was bought up for a certain amount of money when they were in the Premier League. Fair enough, right?
Yeah.
But then it's the reaction, you know, they come out, they nearly get a goal. Okay, but from that point on, it was every single decision made by either Millwall or the management was bad. Because that's what the result is enough for me to prove that. I don't even need to look at the stats. I watched the game. I had to walk out the room at 85 minutes. It's the first time this season I've physically given up and left the room and not watched it anymore. Because it was so, you know, Danny McNamara, right, in the first half had a chart. There was a ball sprayed out by Evans, sprayed out to Danny McNamara. Danny McNamara kills it on his chest and drives at two players and wins the corner. Fortuitously, because I don't think it was, but that's not the point, right?
It was the drive and the intent, I think.
Right, Danny McNamara is the best right back at the club.
Yeah,
100%. Marlon Romeo is no longer the best right back at the club. Marlon Romeo is desperately out of form for whatever reason. I'm sure.
I think he suffered a loss of confidence, Harry.
Absolutely.
I think the new kid is on the block, and you're right. Danny Mac is the best right back at. So I might be intervening on your point here, so apologies. But I'm wondering why he then gets removed on 60 minutes when we're not.
You are exactly pushing for the point that I'm asking for.
Okay.
Why do you take him off? The substitutions baffle me. Those three subs.
Three-way sub on 61 when we're only 1-0 behind. I don't.
Right. Are the wrong subs as well? They're not even. It was not even for the right reasons. Right. In the system you're playing there, you've got Bennett and Wallace up front time. So you could have made the change that you've already said, taking Pearce off and move Evans back into the thing to keep the system the same way, and then put Woods into midfield and pass the ball about and try and get on the ball more, try and get an option to keep that ball and move the ball and draw Swansea out, which they don't need to because they're 1-0 up, but you can try and then throw Zahor on later on. But to bring Zahor on, who, by the way, he took off because he was shit on Saturday over the Easter weekend and was terrible against Stoke, you know, for 45 minutes.
Yeah.
I didn't see any difference between that when he comes on for the half hour he got here. And then...
Not that much, no. There was a chance when we were two-nil down. He had a chance then, didn't he?
But again, the keeper's save makes it look like it was destined for the top corner. It wasn't exactly, you know, he's taken sort of a flick turn around the corner and just hit one towards goal. It's not groundbreaking.
Yeah.
He's, you know, the bloke's on 45 grand a week. Can we just point out that? He's on 45 grand a week at West Brom.
Yeah.
There is no reason to play him. I have no idea why we're playing him.
We've changed formation. I mean, he's decided on this three-way substitution. And I mean, there was actually just post a penalty shout, which, you know, I mean, they analysed it to death on TV and I think they came down the side, the referee got it right. I don't know. I mean, we've all seen
Swansea?
Yeah, the 60th minute.
Oh, yeah.
Where Murray Wallace clips, yeah. He put a foot through the player and we've seen them given, we got away with it. That's good stuff. I mean, whether we've dodged a bullet with that, I don't know.
I think if we're levelling that up for the offside chance when Jed had the one-on-one in the first half where he was clearly onside.
But anyway, I mean, we're still in the game at that point. Three-way substitutions are normally done late, where you've had some dramatic moment and you really need to change it. Maybe you've gone two or three behind much earlier in the game and then you think, well, I've got to restart. So I don't get that. I don't want listeners to think that I'm on some kind of row it out kick. I'm not, actually. I think that he is probably as good a manager as we're going to get at the moment. I think he does need a second opinion, Harry. I mean, I know that you've never been a lover of Gary Rowett, but given that he's probably in place and here, do you think he needs that second view, someone else.
He needs some form of attacking.
Or some kind of attacking view, right?
Yeah, so like the second in command needs to be some kind of striker or some kind of attack-minded midfielder. Signing another assistant manager who is, you know, I'll use Harris as an opinion, using Dave Livermore as some kind of fan of knowledge is never going to work really well. You know, everyone's probably seen the film Mike Bassett, England manager. He reminds me of Bradley Walsh's character of the Yes Man.
You're either a Yes Man or you're a threat to the generalissimo in charge, aren't you? You know?
Yeah, absolutely. But the point of the matter is that ever since, like when we first come here, if you listen back to pods, you know, we talk about these substitutions, they all tended to go right. Now, is that the luck of the gambler? Eventually, you can only gamble, you know, the probability of
backing red and black comes up.
Is one substitution linked to another. And the fact of the matter is if you're a player in that side, I mean, if you're Ryan Woods, let's take Ryan Woods, for instance, who I've not been the biggest fan of, and I'll make no doubts about that. I'm not his biggest fan because I think he's going to be too much money and I think there's better options out there at what he does. Yeah, what he does do, he does very well, but he's not really a Millwall type of player. And people hate using that phrase, but Kifton Bell's a Millwall type of player. He's really limited in what he can do, but you need a yin and a yang in midfield.
I think he's still coming off injury, Harry. I mean, he took a bit of a knock today and it didn't really make much impact, but I do like Kifton Bell.
Yeah, I do as well. And I think more players like that, the Millwall midfield, you know, if I'm sitting there today, the only player that I really, really want in that side that's not been there and I think been an underrated player this season is Ryan Leonard. The fact that Leonard used to get forward a lot and make late runs into the box has sort of gone unmissed. He's a bit of a box-to-box player, which, again, you know, you start into it form. Every time he seems to start to it form, he gets injured through tackles or whatever, and he does put his foot in as well. But the problem is that, you know, you're starting to find the limitations of this squad, and to go to the next level playing the way that Rowett plays, you need to spend money, and you need to spend big money to get those type of players that fit that system. And this system is based around having a striker that can come drop into the midfield and move on and go beyond, you know, a top level striker.
Well, we're going to need John to Daddy pay Bob bigger.
John's Daddy Bob Varson is not that. Sahor is not that. Bradshaw's not that. And when we spend money at this club, we do it very badly.
I had to laugh, Harry. I don't know if you saw the news at Den. I mean, there was an article where Gary Rowett is saying he might have to rethink his strike. This is pre-game, obviously, where the Bennett and Wallace double act has kind of made him rethink his striking thoughts. I thought, well, yeah, that sounds like a cheapskate option of not paying out the big money that is needed, because you're right. Top quality strikers don't come cheap. And I don't know whether it's Kenzo Hoare is that quality of striker, or because I think that he blows hot and cold. But I can't see us persevering with Mason Bennett and Jed as strikers, can you? They operate well in their own roles, but not as strikers.
I think Bennett can play off a striker, but it's always baffled me that Matt Smith needs to stay. Let's get that 100% right. He won't, because Rowett has a vision. And vision, you know, it's vision versus commitment.
They've said as much. I mean, the article said he may have played his last game for us, which I think is a crying shame.
Which is criminal, for lack of a better word. It's criminal. What club would get rid of their top goal scorer? I have no idea. But Millwall will, because he doesn't fit the system. Sorry, isn't the system to win football matches? Isn't that what we're doing here in competitive sport?
Well, I don't know. It's weird.
It's just very stupid. It's very, very Millwall. It literally is. Literally is Millwall in a nutshell, isn't it? Right, we've got a player. It's unfashionable, and we're trying to go with the times and trying to be, you know, play pressing football, whatever. What's next? Are we going to get rid of Bart because he can't play out from the back? You need to sign a striker that can get in behind and score goals. Look at the difference, right? We were looking at that Lowe. I'm sure that Lowe was one of the players we were looking at way back when he was at
Peterborough. Well, his story was quite interesting, Harry. They said he'd come through non-league, Hampton and Richmond, and someone else, I can't think who else he's played for. And then he's got his league football break, and he would spend time in a park with his mates just working on skills. And, you know, so the boy has worked hard, and he's come through from non-league level now, but he does look like a quality act. The third goal, I wonder whether we could criticise Jake for not getting in closer, possibly, but that does
seem
wrong.
It's Marlon Romeo's fault, mate. It's Marlon Romeo. It's on the halfway line, Marlon Romeo is so far inside, he might as well be playing as a third, as a fourth centre midfielder. It is totally from there. He gets dragged into the ball and lets him run beyond him and never gets back. Romeo was all over the place when he come on. That is a player that is totally out of confidence, and you're playing him in the side when the best player, you've replaced the best player in the side today at times for Marlon Romeo. And people are going to slag me off because I'm calling Rowe out. He's done very well. The season, we've had a very bad season in terms of injuries. We get one every 5 or 10 years where we've got terrible injury crisis, right? But now the players are starting to come back. It's up to you to pick the right players to win against the right opposition. That is what being a manager is.
The moment that John Daddy always comes on, always feels like you've just bought yourself a flight to Switzerland to go to the Dignitas early suicide clinic to me. You know nothing's going to happen, but here comes John Daddy on bus.
That's it. As you were saying about that Lowe went to Portsmouth and we tried to buy him before.
Right. I mean, these things happen. But my point is that he showed there a real moment of top class quality. He's got
pace, mate. That's the difference. They've got pace. All these teams that get in behind our defence tend to hit us with a ball around the corner and beat our back four for pace, because you can't teach pace, and you have to pay to buy pace in this division. You know, look at the strikers that always are in this division and always get talked about. Grab them, pace. He's a fantastic finisher, but will get 4 or 5 chances because of his pace. Lowe's got in today 3 or 4 times, scored 2 goals, pace. You look at Pukki, Pukki's probably the wrong example. He's a good finisher for this level, but you look at those players and they're all going to cost money. Britta Sommerlonga is always the one that people go back to, 12 million quid or whatever he went for.
We're not going to be in that category of signing. Exactly. So we're not. Let's not.
No, we're not. But that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying about, I'm going to relook at this. I'm going to relook at Rowett's statement. I might have to relook at my striking options. Well, your striking options are, you know, we've got a budget of £3.70 and you're looking at,
We've got Jed Wallace and we've got Mason Bennett, both very good players, and both.
You're going to let Matt Smith go? I don't get that.
No, I mean, if you look on Matt Smith's LinkedIn account, listeners, he lists himself as a footballer, but he's also a student at Manchester University. He's got his eye on his next career after the football packs up, which is going to be a couple of years away. I can't believe that Millwall cannot come to an arrangement where Matt Smith is a kind of a cameo player, Harry. It comes in, he might start the odd one here and there, but mostly he's going to be a substitute when we're looking for goals. You know, that's a great place for Matt to be in. I'm making Matt's life for him here, listeners, aren't I? But I think you've got to say these things when they're needed. If you want to do your studies, then this is a great place to be. I mean, well, that's the kind of role that, and as you say, Harry, we're getting rid of a goal scorer. I know he's got
when they're crying out for one.
He's got his style,
but the question is, Bodfoot Arson versus Matt Smith. If you ask
Bradshaw didn't even feature today.
But the laughable thing is, they're saying they might want to keep Bradshaw because he's on an extension because he's played a certain amount of games. But they want to get rid of Bob Arson, but they keep bringing Bob Arson. It's literally like they're treating Bob Arson like he's a copy of the auto trader. You know, we keep throwing him on to try and flog him away. You know, it's madness. Like,
I don't know.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Achtung, Mehlball.
Which doesn't, if you take away who the opposition are, if you won three more games, you're going to put yourself in a decent chance at having a free game. You know, all we can do is worry about our own results. But if you'd won those three of those games, you're taking points out of teams directly in the competition if you wanted to be in the playoffs, yeah?
Yeah.
And you come in today and put a performance in like that in the second half. You know, you always use the Americanism of some players are showtime or big-time players.
Yeah.
Millwall have no big-time players, and Alex Pearce is the epitome of what we think a big-time player is, and he's not that. You know, he's club captain.
No.
Does a Viking hand clap before, and it's laughable. And it, you know, for all the criticism I've got of Rowett, I could see today maybe for the first 10-15 minutes the idea of what we're trying to do, what that formation is. But then on the flip side, I also see his own shortcomings of blinded by this system, this beautiful almost
over. Yeah, it's the inability to react, because
it feels very artistic. It feels like, well, the system does not allow this to happen. You know, it kind of doesn't lend itself to any kind of creativeness. So any creative player, whoever they may be in this side, will always struggle, because it's just not set up to have anyone do anything creative, because you're immediately shut down by the fact that we need to press higher because we're so much in trouble in the midfield in terms of ball players. We've got to win it back and get on the turn and go at pace quickly, which is great. But, you know, it's very difficult to see where we go to take this next step, because I think we're no longer worried about being relegated. I think that's been proven for the last sort of... We've had 3 years, they were saying it there, where we're finishing the top.
Well, we've established ourselves as a championship side, and I think you're right that unless something disastrous happens, we shouldn't be a relegation contender next season. But we do need to solve We need to solve two things for me. One is the goal-scoring issue, and the other is the inability to react in-game to situations that don't turn out the way you think they're going to go. Because today was probably the classic example, Harry, and we've said it a few times, so we'll probably close it on this point. But, I mean, the starting 11, you could talk about one or two choices, and, you know, but overall, that wasn't a bad starting 11. But once the game unfolded and Swansea started to turn their form around, they've come into it in poor form, we just didn't seem to have any, we had no plan B to that, did we? We had nothing else up our sleeve. And, you know, I think you've got to look at the subs bench. There isn't an awful lot of quality sitting on that subs bench. Perhaps Conor Mahoney should be doing a lot better with himself. He came into the game and we didn't really see much from him. But
we're not quite ready to make, we've not got all the building blocks in place. We are a work in progress, but the build... every year the build becomes harder to do, the gap becomes bigger, and I don't know what we need. That's the problem. We need too much. It's not as simple as just going, well, we need a striker, because I don't think that will, you know, I question how many times we get the ball to a player, how quickly we break. You know, we take two passes when other teams take one, and we're never gonna be a Barcelona, we're never gonna be a Real Madrid, we're never going to be any of these things because of what we are. And I also don't want to lose what we are. I don't want to lose what the den is. I don't want to lose what our fan base are, because we are fantastic at times and we are unique. And there is something to be said for that. But there also needs to be an understanding from the management of what the supporters want. And, you know, I'm thinking back, you know, probably this is, in my head, this is officially the season dead, you know.
Five games to go now.
Well, we basically had managed by winning three on the bounce. We'd managed to get the old defibrillators out and restart the season before somebody decided to make sure we were dead by driving a cross and a stick of garlic through the Millwall corpse, you know.
There we are, Harry. Big thank you to Harry Warren for taking this time out of his afternoon for the psychiatrist's couch for the post-match analysis.
I might have to go for a run. I've managed to get myself really angry.
Get the punch bag out of the back garden, mate, and give it three rounds of 5 minutes. Champion.
I just don't like banality mid-table. I find it very, very offensive.
We're going to take a break and have a quick look through the online reactions, and we have one or two voicemail messages from far and wide after this break. Big thank you to Harry in the meantime. Thanks a lot, H.
No worries, mate.
If you're enjoying Afton Millwall Podcast, then why not help us grow the show and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts? We'd love it, if you visit the Apple link in the show notes and leave us a rating and a review. Afton Millwall is the number one podcast broadcasting from beautiful South Bermondsey. No show sponsors, no Patreon, and no TikTok accounts. Thank you, dear listeners, and as always, arrivederci Millwall.
Jerry Scalak here. Recording in my car outside Morrison's, and yes, I do shop at Morrison's, as an ode to the one and only Steve. Thoughts on today's game. Ultimately, a very disappointing result after three wins on the bounce. I was expecting a lot more than that. I thought the first sort of probably 20-25 minutes, it was actually a really good game. Quite a lot of open play. We looked lively going forward. But as was the case of this season, we just didn't sustain that performance over the 90 minutes. And, pretty much from half an hour onwards and including the second half, it was a pretty drab viewing. Swansea, good side though. They are a decent side, very well organised. We know we lack a bit of creativity going forward, but that, credit to them. I think they did defend well, and we didn't really harm them much going forward, bar Cooper's header against the post. But there wasn't a lot else really, which really, made it look like we could get in the game. They scored some very good goals. Our defending was a bit off, but you're up against some very quality players there. I mean, Andre Ayew, who really should be playing in the Premier League, and Sod's Law, Jamal Lowe, not scoring for 17 games, and he gets a brace today. Isn't that classic Millwall? It was poor. And I think the second half changes as well. I mean, taking off McNamara, who was probably the best player on for Millwall during the game, was disappointing. And, I could see why he brought Zahor on, but he just doesn't look like he cares. He's that loan signing where it looks like he doesn't really want to be there. So I questioned, the point of bringing him on. And then, to bring on Williams and Bodvarsson, and it's just, you might as well turn your telly off, to be honest, when they came on. So, it's just, as we've said many times, listeners, when will this season end? Clearly the playoffs are miles away now. Disappointing result today. So not much left to say on the matter, unfortunately. Until next time, Jerry Scalak signing out.
We've had an interesting email. Big thank you to Mike Bittaker for your email, Mike, following today's loss at home to Swansea. Mike writes to us to give a few thoughts on today's performance. He says, obviously not a good result, but if Billy Mitchell's early shot goes in, or Jake's header, the same, who knows? First goal came at entirely the wrong time for Millwall. It was a great boost for Swansea and very deflating for us. We do seem to be a confidence-driven side, Mike. I do agree. He continues that he always thinks that we have to be right at the top of our game to be a top half of the table team. An interesting point. We're not great individually, and we are stronger than the sum of our parts. So a team rather than a group of individuals, I suppose, is a way to put that. If we're off our game, Mike says, we are very average and look toothless up front. Consistency is our main problem. Our major strikers are all flair players, he says. Wallace, Bennett, Mahoney. Which means that they have good and bad days, unlike defenders like Hutch or Cooper, who are much more predictable. So question, dear listener, is the lack of consistency the same as a lack of quality? Mike says he thinks in our case they are very closely associated. We lack quality, he says, particularly in the creation and conversion of chances. I think, Mike says, quality guarantees you more consistency. He also makes the same point that Woods was not used today. He says he's ambivalent as to whether we sign him or not. and with our budget, we'd look to strengthen elsewhere, and poses the existential question, what is the point of John Daddy Bodvarsson? He'd pump both John Daddy and Bradshaw out next season. He also makes a point about Matt Smith, same as Harry and I were making earlier on, about offering him a new contract as a last 20-minute or so cameo player. As Mike puts it here, it's like taking an atomic bomb to the gunfight at the OK Corral. Great analogy, Mike. I think that's a very valid point too, mate. Big thank you to Mike Bissiger for that email. So there we are, dear listeners. Big thank you to Harry for taking time and the immediate aftermath of that 3-0 gazumping by Swansea this afternoon. I thought we'd have a quick run, and it will be a quick run, through one or two of the internet comments that have been copied into my Twitter account, dear listeners. Jim Hackett says a couple of poor decisions led to their first two goals. Could have got something out of the game when it was 0-1. But it shows what a couple of multi-million pound strikers can do for a team. Up until the first goal, nothing in the game. Not too depressed, says Jim. Roll on to the summer. I think you're right, Jim. Funny enough, just as I'd gone off air with Harry, I was talking about the amount of money required to invest in our side. Because let's be really honest, you know, the skill that we saw at times from some of the Swansea forwards today, and other players across the course of the season, those that are at the top are there for a reason. The amount of investment required looks to be way beyond anything that Millwall can bring to the party. Now, I don't see the likes of Tom Bradshaw and John Daddy, I hope, being, I don't see them being the answer to our problems. Whether we've got them both next season or not remains to be seen. But to get the kind of level of strike force in that might change it is probably going to be a tad expensive by Mill. Paul Llewellyn says, the curse of Sky strikes again. We need to ban those fuckers, he says. Seriously, though, the biggest mistake was taking off McNamara for Romeo, who I have to say cost us two goals. I think that's the same point that Harry was making, Paul. McNamara and Mitchell class acts today. Now, I don't know whether we've got any talent coming through. We keep talking about young Isaac Alofe at Sutton. Let's wait and see what becomes of him without putting any pressure on the boy's shoulders. But you have to wonder where the talent's going to come from if it doesn't come through our own ranks. Steve Lee says clinical finishing was the difference for Steve. If Zohor scores, they may have panicked but roll on next season. Matthew Nash, we tried to play football against a good footballing team when we should have mixed it up more. Are you and Hughie Hahn the top flight players, really? We were pretty awful today, though, says Matt Nash. Too many players not on it. Easy to hide sometimes with no fans in the ground. That is true. I agree with you there, Matt. Graham says 3-0 flattered them, but it shows a difference in quality up front. And Rob Carnaby sums up a lot of what Harry and I were saying earlier on, that we've seen more mobility in a lamppost than Alex Pearce, says Rob Carnaby. And finally, Steve Evans took his hopeful sign from today, because it didn't cost him a tenner to watch proceedings. So there we are, dear listeners. It's difficult to record in the immediate aftermath of a football game. You tend to possibly run away with your emotions a little bit. I'm not unhappy with the season that we've had. I'm not unhappy with Gary Rowett, but I can see areas of our squad where the levels of money required, let's put it in simple terms, levels of money required to improve us will be way, way, way beyond anything that we've ever seen from a Millwall side previously. Let's wait and see on how that goes. Now, just to close us out today, I spoke a little while ago to one of our Texas listeners, Darby Lockridge, and she has sent her own audio take on today's game into me. So let's play it out with our own Yellow Rose of Texas, Miss Darby Lockridge. Thank you for listening, dear listeners, and arrivederci Millwall.
Good morning, Nick. This is Darby, your Millwall fan, checking in from Houston, Texas. Or I suppose it's good afternoon or good evening over there. Over here in Texas, it is absolutely morning, and to be honest, I don't know if it's that good, right? But I was inspired to record a little something to send over just because I actually got to watch a broadcast Millwall match this morning, or most especially a non I follow broadcast. It was actually over here on ESPN this morning. Had to wake up, got out of bed about 6 o'clock this morning. The match started 6:30 a.m. my time on a Saturday, but I was super excited to get up out of bed and actually get to watch a live Millwall match. And gosh, that first 25 minutes was absolutely magic. And I thought, this is what I'm getting out of bed for. Gosh, I think that when Swansea got that very first look at our goal, it just turned everything around. That first 25 minutes, we really were playing beautifully. And then everything kind of went down from there, didn't it? The match is actually still going on in the other room. But I came in here at about the 90th minute, and gosh, it's over, isn't it? It was 3-0 when I left, and I just don't think we're coming back from that. We really seem to be a team of momentum. And when we come in and we're doing good, we'll continue to do good until one bad thing happens. And once one bad thing happens, it just pulls us off of our game, and we're doing nothing. Yeah, you know, we came back in the second half. We had a little bit of a chance, and we were working a little hard after that. But once again, once we get down, we give up, and it's a tragedy to see. But you know what? Now it's almost 8:30 in the morning here, and I'm gonna get on with my day. But I just wanted to send in a quick bit of audio and let you know that I got to watch a real match this morning, and God. You know, I got up out of bed for that. So anyway, y'all have a great one. Take care.
Who do you want to watch?
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.